sing too many songs, but I think I could do that for another hour at least. Just really enjoy the presence of the Lord and worship tonight. Amen. We'll just go ahead and let the rest of our musicians with their gold. Everybody's happy to be in the house of the Lord tonight.
Amen.
It's good to be Christians. It's good to know that our pathway is on the right way. Amen. That's just, no matter what this world dishes out, we know that the Lord is taking care of all that. We just put all of our confidence in Him, and that's just all there is to it. So we just really appreciate what God has done for us. Tonight I want to talk to you about sincerity and truth. So we can go ahead and open our Bibles. We begin reading Luke chapter 18, verse 1 through 8. Luke chapter 18, verse 1 through 8. And he spake a parable unto them, to this end, that men ought to always pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge who feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, and saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And I think we know the answer to that. Amen. That is, yes, he will. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 23. Because of what he did so wonderfully for us on Calvary. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful who has promised. One more scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. Therefore let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Let's just pray. Lord, we just appreciate your presence tonight. We are so glad to be in the house of God, to be here with your people, and Lord, to know that you're here just to bless the hearts of your children with your word. We just surrender ourselves to you tonight, here just as your children, and ask God that you just work through us, speak through us, hear through us, live through us, Lord. And so we just pray, God, you take this service now. We give it to you. Ask for your blessings now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Sincerity and truth. Amen. You know, we live in such a world of deception and impersonations. You know, Brother Ram talked quite often about it, but so many impersonations. You know, God don't want us to impersonate someone or anything. And so we live in a world of so many impersonations and so many things that are fake. And Brother Ram tells us that this is the most deceptive age of all the ages there is. You know, in previous ages, you know, a person, he said, if a Christian would, you know, slip up or whatever, you know, and get caught or whatever, then he would be killed for his testimony. And that was the battle that they had to deal with, you know. But he said nowadays, the trick is that Satan has made people think that they're Christians when they're really not. And so it is the most deceptive age of all of them. And so it's just such an age of so many fake things, so many imitations. They're all over the place. It's just like when you buy stuff nowadays and you're thinking you're getting something and it turns out to be something that's not real. And so it's a thing. You know, there used to be a show called The Antique Roadshow. I don't think he's ever seen that, any part of it. And so didn't get very many heads shaking there, but The Antique Roadshow, people would bring things in that they had that was old, and they would bring it to experts to find out what is this, and is it valuable, and how old is it, and where did it come from, and all that sort of things. And so they had experts there that they'd bring these things in, and they would look at things. And sometimes, most of the time, pretty much, most of these people, when they bring something in, they didn't really know what they had. Sometimes they thought it was worth a lot, and they were astounded when the expert would say, this is, not worth $15, whatever. And sometimes people would bring something in and think it wasn't worth much, and it would be worth tens of thousands of dollars or something like that. And so, but because there are so many fakes out there, these experts could look at it and they could say, here's how you know. Here's how you know that it's the real thing made by this person or by that person. And so, and tonight as I'm talking about sincerity and truth, I'm all, a subtitle, I guess we could call it, is The Right Thing. As maybe we'll read Brother Branham in a little bit, something he says. And so a lot of times people just don't know what they have. They don't know the value of it. And so, at work here sometime, it's been a few years ago, that we bought some parts for doing something, making a piece of equipment, and it worked for a while, and all of a sudden it started acting up. It wasn't working right, and so we got to looking at it and found out that some of these parts that we, a certain part that we picked, put in there, was not working right. One of the other guys at work got to looking, and he got to searching around, and he found out, lo and behold, these are fake parts. They were fake. Wow. And so, a certain country way over there that likes to make things, and they'll make something and actually put the name of the company here in America that makes it, and they put it on there and try to make it look like it's theirs. And that's what they did. These devices were they worked for a little while, but after a couple of weeks, they started acting up. And so the guy at work, he cut them open, looked in there, and there were parts missing out of it. And so, come to find out, there was information. And so I looked at it, and there was information out there now, and all these information to tell you, here's how you can tell whether or not you've got the real thing or not. Yeah. And lo and behold, you look at it, we had the fake stuff, right? And so the market, it's just out there all over the place. You buy all these things now, and you don't know what you're getting.
Right.
And so there's a lot can be said about that. But here some time ago, I bought a pair of calipers. Now that's not the things that you put on your car that cause your cars to break, but it's a measurement device. And I bought a pair of calipers, and from a name brand, and I kind of suspected it might not be actually the name brand, but it was a good enough price. I thought, well, I'll try it. It may be okay. And I got it in, and after I ordered it, but before I got it, I seen something come up, and it said 14 ways to tell whether or not you got the real thing. And I watched all the information on it, so I was okay. I'm gonna wait. I got my calipers in, and lo and behold, there's the 14 ways to tell that the thing wasn't real. It was a fake,
Yeah.
And I will say that the quality of it was good enough that I was satisfied. I felt like I got a good deal on it. It was about 25% of what the real would have been. And so, like I said, I suspected that, and it's pretty good. But only time will tell, right? And so I'm speaking here of things that are genuine and things that are not. And so, when something is real, it has a quality about it that cost. I'm not talking about just price tag, like it costs more or whatever, but I'm talking about what it takes to make it, what it takes to make it the quality that it is. And so, if something comes easy, it goes easy.
That's right. right.
If it takes a long time to build something up, then it's probably more sturdy. And so, something that's real has a quality that has a price to it, and so it has something about it that makes it better than all these imitations that come along that people make. And so when someone sets out to make an imitation of a part, let's say those parts at work, somebody looked at the real thing and said, now we're gonna make a version of that, and we're gonna trick people into thinking that it's real.
Yeah.
And what we're gonna do by making this fake, trying to make it look like the real, we're gonna take away the revenue and the power, you know, that this real company should be getting when they are buying, when people buy from them. We're gonna make our own, and we're gonna get people to come and start buying our product thinking it's the real thing, but it's not gonna be the real thing. And of course, if they did put all the effort into it and it was full quality, then it wouldn't be such a big deal, I guess. But they don't. It's a knockoff.
Yeah.
They figure out a way they can make it cheaper, make it look like it's the real thing when it's really not the real thing, and trick people into taking that.
Right.
And maybe paying a price for it, thinking it's real when it's not. And so, it's hideous, you know, I guess, for someone to do that. And so the world is full of those things right now. And so they want to get rich and so forth and take it away from the person that has the real. And so, but many times, something that's fake, it's real simple, you can figure out that it's fake just by putting it under an extreme test.
Yeah.
Just work it real hard. It could be anything, whatever we're talking about, but you know, if it's a lawnmower, put it through its paces, and you'll find out that quality's not there, that genuineness is not there.
Yeah.
The real thing has something that all those fakes and knockoffs don't have.
Right.
And so we know that's to be true. And so in this world of all these fakes and impersonation and so forth, when they do that, when these people make these imitations, and they flood the market with it, what they actually, what it has a tendency to do is it'll make the value of that thing go down, even for the person who makes the real. Because the market gets flooded with all these cheap, they'll have it cheaper or something like that. And so, you know, up front, that's what it does. But in the long run, it goes the other way. In the long run, when there's a bunch of fakes out there, to those who know the real, that real becomes more valuable.
Right.
That's what the Antique Roadshow was all about. That's just, that's what these people who buy and sell that know coins and coin collectors and all that. Like Brother Ben tells about the little boy that had a stamp.
Yeah.
And he just got maybe enough for a few ice cream cones out of it. But later on, it was into the thousands that it was selling for. Yeah. So because it has to do with, do you know what you have? Do you know what this is? And that sort of thing. And so it has a tendency to drive the price down, but actually to those who know, it becomes more valuable.
Yeah.
Because now you realize it's hard to come by, because you got all this out here and you test it and you look at it and you find out it's not the real thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And so when you do find the real thing, it's more precious to you.
Yeah.
And so the imitators, they won't put forth the effort to be real. They just won't do it.
Yeah.
And I'll say it this way as I'm going forward, they're not real, they're imitators, but let me say it this way, they're not creators, they're perverters.
Yeah.
To me, and we know that speaks of Lucifer himself, that he's not a creator, he is an imitator, he makes fake tries to take away the glory from God to himself.
Right.
And so we see that that's the way it is. They won't make something good. They won't put forth the effort, because it takes a price to get to the place where it's a quality product. They want to feel the good. They want the feel good part, but they don't want to pay the price for it.
Yeah.
Right? That's what they're doing. We're going to make this cheap, so we can get the benefits from it, But they don't want to pay the price to make it a real thing.
Right.
It's an imitation.
Sure.
And so we see that that's the way it is. And so there's a lot of places I could go there, you know, in marriage. Everybody wants to feel good of marriage, but they don't want the price that it takes to have a good marriage and have a long-lasting marriage. They don't want to do that. A lot of people, young people, especially nowadays, you know, they see mom and dad with a house, and they want that quick. And they don't realize it's taken 30 or 40 years to get for mom and dad to get where they are.
Right.
And so they want the things, the feel-good stuff, but they don't want to pay the price to get it. That's an imitation, a cheap experience, a cheap walk in life when people want something and they don't have a feeling for what the price is that has to be paid for that.
Yeah.
Right. Like our generation now, they don't know what it means to have for men to die for this country so that we could have the freedoms that we have. They've lost that.
Right.
They don't understand what it takes.
Right.
And so it's a fake thing. And so really understanding the price of something,
yeah,
it becomes valuable to you. And if you have something that's valuable to you, you protect it.
Right.
Right? You'll protect it, and you'll try to maintain it and keep some enemy from coming along and grabbing hold of it and putting his hands on it and taking off with it, whatever. And so, in saying all this, you can see why that Satan has flooded this world full of fake Christians.
Yeah.
Fake Christianity. Because all that I just said, that's what we're talking about. People who, you know, they want to be called Christians, but they don't want the blood and the sacrifice. You hear people say, oh, that's a slaughterhouse religion. That's right. It is.
Mm-hmm.
Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins.
Yeah.
Right? And so this modern group, you know, they just want the blessings of Calvary, but they don't want the walk it takes to walk in a victorious life.
Mm-hmm.
And so Satan has flooded the world with fake Christians, and they look so much to the world and act so much to the world that the world is deceived. The world believes that what they're seeing is real Christianity. But it's been hijacked. Real Christianity hasn't been hijacked, but the name of Christianity, what people look at and call Christianity, has been hijacked.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's full of a bunch of fake, full of people who've left the Word. They don't want they like the sweetness in the mouth, but they don't like the bitterness in the belly.
Right.
Right? They don't. And so that's what's out there. And so it's been totally hijacked. But when you and I, when we look at modern Christianity, we can see just how far they have fallen. They have fallen from the things that we know to be truth. And so we can see that. And so to us, it's very clear that something's wrong out there when you try to talk to them and you see them. And I'm not just trying to stand here and condemn. I'm showing you there is a fake. The world is full of fakes. But if, as Brother Graham says, if there is a fake, there is a genuine.
That's right. Yeah.
In order for you to have a fake dollar bill, there has to be a genuine off of it.
Right.
And that first one is the genuine one. You got to have something you're trying to imitate. And so we realize Satan's trying to imitate God, but he's not God.
Right.
He'll never be. You know, he's worshipped by people, but he's not. He's not like God is. And so we can look out there and see how much they have fallen. But it's by the grace of God that we can. Because in this day, God has come to us in a message and has revealed to us that Babylon has fallen, as we were talking about briefly Sunday.
Right.
That the whole thing, all of it, all the denominations, all that religious systems of the world, they've all fallen away from the Word. And God, by His grace, we didn't know, but by His grace, He's coming this hour with a message that has shown us back to the Word, and now we realize that it's all fallen. And He didn't just come along and say it's all fallen, but He gave us what we need to come from that.
Right.
And so we can look out and see that everything, you know, the world is just a bunch of imitations and so forth. But we don't have to be that way.
No.
We don't have to let that cause our minds to be drawn away into thinking that into a soft Christianity where we just, you know, like the good things but don't walk a walk of faith. And so we remember that God has done that in our day to show us that Babylon is fallen. And so with that message of fallen, he says, come out of her. So God is coming this day to show us the fallacies of these things and that we were in and has called us and said, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her plagues and her sins and those things that would be coming. So I want to read, this is a rather lengthy quote, but it's called out of a sermon called All Things. And Brother Ram was talking here about real, genuine versus false. He said, like just recently when our movement got started, he's talking about the Pentecostal movement. He said, and God began to add something to them, and we went off with it and made a tradition out of it, and it lost its power. Instead of bringing brotherhood together, it separated brotherhood. You do it sometimes just for tradition without the sincerity of it. You've got to enter the feast of God with sincerity. No real sincerity, no real sorrow for sins. People come up the altar, and many of them, they take a lot of music, a little dancing, clapping of their hands, maybe run up and down the aisles, and maybe just speak with tongues. Now, I believe in speaking in tongues. I believe in running up and down the aisle. I believe in clapping of hands. But if there isn't some feeling behind there, if there's some sincerity that Jesus has cleansed you, not doing it because Miss Jones did it, but doing it because there's something in you pulsating the sorrow of your sins and the joy of the victory that you share in the resurrection of your sacrifice, the evidence of the eternal security, how could you not be sincere in that? And I believe a man can shout and not be saved. I believe man can run and not be saved. I believe he can speak in tongues and not be saved. I believe he can do any of these things and not be saved. He says, but you can't class everybody that does that now, can't say all of that's wrong, is what he's telling us. Because the other side says, well, there's nothing to any of it. But Brother Man said, but there's somebody sincere in that. And there's somebody that's got a genuine result because he entered it sincerely upon the basis of his faith in the shed blood. And he got the right thing. But the other's just mocking. And there's too much mocking going on, too much impersonation, carnal impersonations, carnal comparisons. He said, if you would come and seek the Holy Spirit and let him, the faith that you've got in him, add to that virtue and to that brotherly kindness, like in 2 Peter 1:7, until you're built up into the full stature of Christ, then the last thing is love, which God, the Holy Spirit, seals you to your destination. He says, you can't impersonate. He says, you can impersonate, but as I said the other night, it's just like a blackbird putting peacock feathers in his wings and saying, see, I'm a peacock. He just added them. Push them in. And Brother Ben said, if there's something on the inside that made of him that made him push them out, he'd actually be a peacock. Certainly. But some people are trying to do something like that because someone else, or impersonate someone else because they thought they did it. And you see what it does? It brings us back to ritual and form again. It's the blood, the life that electrifies and sanctifies our life. That's right. Isaiah spilled out to them and said, God said that he is hiding his face from your prayers. Remember, we read the scripture a while ago that will God avenge those that cry day and night to him? And Jesus said, yes, he will. But that's to those who are real. Right? So God has said that he's hiding his face from their prayers. You've got your ritualistic form, and yet it's the truth. And you're doing what he told you. So Brother Bam's saying they're doing what God told them to do, but you're not doing it with sincerity. And you squall out day and night, but God said, your sacrifice is a stink to me, and I will not receive it anymore. And when you pray under such conditions, I'll hide my face from you. Brother Bram says, oh God, if people would think on that, it would start a Pentecost. God said, though you be correctly in the word, but if you don't do it with love and sincerity, God said he would hide his face and wouldn't hear your prayers. That's the way. Oh, you say, well, that's taking it from the Old Testament, Brother Bram. All right, let's take it from the New Testament, 2 Timothy 3. The Holy Spirit warned us in the last day that the church would get away from sincerity and the faith, and they'd have a form of godliness, but would deny the power that went with the right thing. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Yes, sir. God hates a powerless religion, and any religion today that hasn't got Christ in it is powerless. But any religion that Christ is in is under his own blood, and it's got power in it. And you say God hates religion without power? Yes, he said, your solemn feast is a stink. I guess he does hate it. He said, it makes me sick. And remember, he told this rich Laodicean church that because you're lukewarm, in other words, you make me sick, I'll spew you out of my mouth, and we've come to that age. I mean, he knows that. We've come to an age where the world is full of fake imitation Christianity. And God said, I won't even hear it. I won't even hear their prayer. Right? Because we have to come in sincerity, real faith and sincerity in his truth, based upon truth. And so the ones who, as he said, the ones who really, that there's plenty that shout and run and speak in tongues and all those things and can be that way and be lost. But there's a real people that can do the same things. And they're doing it because they've been touched with the feeling of the price of the sufferings at Calvary. That makes the difference. And so, you know, in the Old Testament, you've heard it many times, how that the worshiper would bring his sacrifice and have to lay his hands on that lamb. When they would slay that lamb, and he would be, struggling to live. And you would feel that struggle, and that blood would be splashing on you, and that person would be very emotional to them to realize that innocent life had to struggle, and they would feel that, and I'm sure that they went home, and it would bother them maybe for days or for years. They'd always think about that, and it would bring a sorrow in their life for their own sins, and that an innocent life had to die for them. And so Brother Bam talked about that's how they do. They'd come and they take it. He said, but after a while,
sure,
that became just a tradition to them.
Right.
There was no more feeling in it.
Yeah.
There was no more sincerity in it. And so they would do that. They would do those things. And after a while, God said, I don't want any more of it because it's not sincere. Yet you're doing what I told you to do. You're going through all the motions I've told you to do. But because there's no sincerity in your heart, it's just a ritual, then I don't receive it. And under that condition, God won't listen to the prayers. And so, you know, we realize that even us in the message, yes, we have a glorious message God has given to us and come to us in this day, and we love and appreciate it, but you realize we can find ourselves just going through ritual.
Right.
We can find ourselves just doing what he says we should do, what you know, doing what Christians should do, but not doing it because of a sincerity and people can do it, and having lost that feeling of that suffering on Calvary. How many remembers the story where the Ram goes into the place, I think it was a restaurant, and he's talking about a policeman with his arm around some young girl playing a slot machine or something like that, and a couple of drunk men and a woman there, and it was just sickening. You know, we see stuff, and it's sickening to us, right? We do. We see things, and it's sickening to us, and but in all that, we can never get to the place where we look down our noses, because, you know, we were there once, right? We can't do that. And even Brother Branham, even the prophet, had seen so much, and God had did so many things, and even he got to the place and said, God, why don't you just wipe the whole thing off? You know, just destroy the whole thing.
Yeah.
And the Lord called him over behind a machine or a door or something like that, and that's where the Lord showed Jesus and Brother Branham's sins coming up, and that blood being a bumper there. And Brother Branham said, my sins? Yeah. And the whole experience brought Brother Branham back to the mindset of what he should be, right? And he went over and he sat down and talked with that woman there, and I forget all the details of it, but you see, momentarily, just because of the things or the struggles of life or whatever, you know, sometimes we get a wrong idea, a wrong thought about other people that aren't necessarily where we are. We should never do that.
No.
Jesus, we didn't read it, but he goes on and tells the story right next there when we read it about shall the Son of Man, when he comes, shall he find faith? He goes on and tells the next story there, and it's about the Pharisee and the publican that go into the temple to pray. And the Pharisee comes in and says, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I'm not like that guy over there. Because look what I do for you.
Yeah,
I fast twice a week. I pay tithes on everything I have. Uh-huh. And I'm just so wonderful.
Uh-huh.
And Jesus said, but the other guy over there, the sinner, the publican, he wouldn't even so much as lift his face toward heaven. He just would smite himself on the breast and say, God, be merciful to me.
Yeah.
And Jesus said that man went to his house more justified than that priest did.
That's right.
And so when you begin to look at it, you know, people can just be ever so dynamic in doing things and looking right and doing the right. But if that heartfelt sincerity, if that touch of Calvary, that feeling of what it is, as Brother Ram said there, of the feeling of your sin, of the weight of that, but then also along with that, the joy of knowing that you've got victory over those things.
Yeah.
And that you share in the resurrection with your sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have that eternal security. See, there's a whole batch of things right there, but we can never forget where we come from.
Right.
Right? We should never do that. Once we get to the place that we can't look at someone else and feel sorry for their sins that they're in, we've fallen back some.
Yeah.
And so God wants us to do all the things, and the messages tells us and enable us. But even in our day, here we are in our day, in our hour, with as far as this gospel has come, we've still got to have sincerity and truth.
Yeah.
And the things we do, we've got to do it because it's a heartfelt reason for it. Not just because we want to look right and this is what we're supposed to do and I want people to look at me or whatever.
Yeah.
We have to have sincerity in our hearts.
Amen.
So when we serve one another, because we love one another,
yeah,
we love God. We love God and we love His people.
Yeah.
And we want to do what we can for His kingdom. And doing things for His kingdom is doing things for His people.
Yeah.
See, that's what you want to do. And so I just, you know, in reading that, I ran onto that quote a couple of days ago, and just, you know, this thought building on there. And I just wanted to share with you tonight, just for us to remember, there is a sincerity and there is a truth. There is the right thing. I started to say the real thing, and they don't want people to think I was thinking like Coke or something like that, you know, because they used to call that the real thing, right? Didn't they? But There is a right experience. And that right experience will bring sincerity and truth, where that we worship God in spirit and in truth from our heart, not just because it's ritual. Amen? And so we thank God because he would come along with his word and help us to see these things and remind us of these things. And we have that example right there on tape. So we have to say to ourselves that our prophet was transparent. He told us that he had the wrong attitude about that situation and God had to correct it. And if that's the way it is with him, wouldn't it be that way with us?
Right.
Absolutely. God is merciful. And as the scriptures tell us, let the wicked, depart from their wicked ways, and God will hear them. He'll fix things for you. But you've got to come with sincerity and in truth. Mm-hmm. Amen. And with a life like that, we know that it makes you different than the world. Amen. So let's just pray. Lord, we thank you for this little time around your word. Your people's been very attentive. And so we ask God that the things that have been said tonight would just go with them and meditate upon them. As I've said so many times, Lord, I know that you promised that you would bring to remembrance your word and the things that you've told them. And I believe tonight, Lord, you've told them things through the service tonight as you do at every service. But Lord, that they'll remember and you'll bring to the remembrance the things they've heard right at the time that they need most. And so we just love you, Lord. We pray that this word seal the way in their hearts tonight. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Song to sing.
Mercy, reward.